Every Thursday, including Thanksgiving Thursday, we read from your email. And a number of listeners were struck by my colleague Michelle Norris's interview about including children with disabilities in school and other everyday activities. She spoke with Dan Habib, the father of a 7-year-old boy with cerebral palsy. Habib is trying to include his son in all aspects of life, and he's documented the process in a film called Including Samuel.
It can be hard to do inclusion well. But I think as a matter of human rights and civil rights and for the benefit of our society, it's the right choice.
There's a lot of talk about inclusion's impact on schools, and that's what many of the comments we've received are about. Peter Graber of Elkhart, Indiana writes, "When kids with disabilities are not included, everyone loses. Teachers don't learn important skills that can be applied to the whole classroom. Other kids don't benefit from learning another perspective on the world. And a unique personality is lost to everyone if the kid with a disability is segregated from people who live, learn, or communicate differently." Jerry Olemeyer of Lawrence, Kansas, has a different view. He sent this comment. "Your story talked about Samuel's parents making the choice for their boy to be included. And while the film features a teacher who gives a different view, important stakeholders with no choice in the decision are left out, the other classmates and their parents." Mr. Olemeyer goes on, "My daughter, a good student, had 5 children with learning disabilities in her 6th grade class who needed constant attention. The class size was over 30 and was taught by a first-year teacher. Class was chaos, and the year was a waste." He concludes, "I feel the attention and resources spent on the special needs children who were included shortchanged my daughter." Many of the Apple computer fans in our audience wrote in this week, unhappy with what they heard in a chat with technology writer Omar Gayaga of the Austin American Statesman. Michelle was talking with him about Apple's update to the Mac operating system called Leopard, and together they wondered what the next OS system would be called.
Okay, Omar, what's the deal with the names for these systems, the big cats, the tiger, and now the leopard? What's next, the panther?
I think Steve Jobs just really digs cats. I don't know. I'm guessing Puma, maybe the next operating system.
No, writes Dan Buchan of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The next version of OS X won't be called Panther. That was 2003. Or Puma. That was 2001. Here's a handy list of other cat names Apple has already used. Cheetah was used in 2001, Jaguar in 2002, Tiger in 2005, and of course, Leopard 2007. For my money, Mr. Buchan writes, the next Apple operating system will be Lion. Finally, I'm proud to say that I was part of a vegetable conversion yesterday. Listener Michael Short of Lawrenceville, Georgia, heard my interview with cookbook author Molly Katzen, in which she described a recipe for roasting Brussels sprouts. He writes, "I have hated Brussels sprouts since childhood, but was intrigued by Molly's description. I called my wife, who loves Brussels sprouts, and told her if she would go to the store on her way home and get some, I would fix them. She did, I did, and I'm now a convert." Michael Short continues, "I will now endeavor to educate others of my previous mindset to be open to new ideas on old hatreds." Mr. Short concludes, wonder if that would work on world politics. We are thankful for your comments. Write to us by going to npr.org and clicking on Contact Us at the top of the page. This is NPR, National Public Radio.